51552.
Dave Fanning
on 2FM.
Now, they've been working in television for 25 years and they're not even 40 years old, and recently they picked up their 13th consecutive National Television Award for Most Popular Entertainment Presenters. And on the same night, they were awarded the National Television Landmark Award. So have a listen to this.
I don't know what else to say other than it has been a pleasure. The last 25 years has been a pleasure. We love it. We genuinely love it. I don't know what else to say.
There's so many people that we should thank for helping us in the past 25 years since we started when we were 11 years old, and they've helped us and have taught us everything we know, and we couldn't go into thanking every single person, but every single person has put us on that journey and has put us here today. But most importantly, I think, you know, neither of us would be here if it wasn't for each other, so... Yeah.
Don't stop that. Come on. Yeah, I love you, man. Love you to bits. Finally, Sam McCall, we're going to be late tomorrow. We're going to be late.
See how you like it.
Well, I think you know who they are. They've also released, by the way, 3 albums, had a number one UK single, starred in a movie, and their hit show Saturday Night Takeaway is currently back on our screens, bigger and better than ever, with a live arena tour planned for later this year, including a few dates here in Dublin. So who else could I possibly be talking about other than Ant and Dec? And if you've ever been confused about which is which, we're about to help you figure that one out once and for all. So what is their secret? How have they become two of the biggest stars on UK television? How have they done that so long ago and stayed there? Well, Fiona Flynn, the TV editor of Entertainment.com, is with me now to take a closer look at the success story that is Ant and Dec. Fiona, these guys are really well liked, aren't they? Isn't that really the basis of it all?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's what it comes down to, even listening to them there. They're just so likable. I mean, I don't think I've ever come across anyone who doesn't like them. And even if they do, I think it's just that they haven't really seen that much of their shows. People that have worked with them in the past have said that, like, in the last 2 decades that they've worked in show business, they've made no enemies. And that's pretty much unheard of in television world these days. They're pretty much, I think, as they are in front of the camera is how they are off the camera, which I think is a huge part of their success, because you can definitely tell there's nothing contrived about them. Like, everything down from, you know, their sense of humour to how they kind of deal with people.
Do you know something? I'm getting a bit sick and tired of the fact that everybody, you know, because they're so real. You know, if you met them, they'd be the same as they are on TV. Mm. Sometimes I want people to be a bit different, to put on a persona. I'm getting sick of the fact that, you know, well, they're so ordinary and whatever, and they're not contrived. I wouldn't mind if they were contrived at all.
Oh, I would.
Okay, I wasn't going to get anywhere with that. Look, basically, really, it's the fact that they're very cheeky, but they're never coarse, and they don't make people look silly, isn't that it?
That's it. I mean, anyone they do a prank on, it's never someone lower down the pecking order than them, you know? It's always sort of someone like Gordon Ramsay, who you really want to see be pranked. And, you know, even when they're making fun of people, it's never, you know, even when they're making fun of each other, it's always they take turns and one guy being the fall guy, they take turns and they never let one kind of, you know, be a fool for too long. But there's just, they kind of have respect for people and people can kind of tell that off them, I think, as well, which I think is a huge part of it too.
Okay, let's take a look at some of the bits though. Didn't they try to crack America?
They did.
And it didn't really work very well.
No.
They had a thing called You Bet, and then they changed it to
Wanna Bet.
Which just didn't work. And then they had that movie Alien Autopsy. I spoke to them back around that time too. Mm. And I met them. They were lovely guys. And they had a sitcom, Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. All these things didn't necessarily work, but they know how to transcend disasters and still be the people we all love.
That's it, yeah. They seem to always kind of come out smelling of roses, you know. I mean, even they went to America, it didn't work out. And in fairness, they kind of had good reason to think it would work out, you know. I mean, Simon Cowell was doing well over there. Mm. Kat Dealey was doing well over there. So, you know, they kind of went with the positive attitude of, well, why won't it work for us? But I think the format didn't suit them in America, and I think that was what it came down to there. But anything that's happened in the past, even with the movie Alien Autopsy, I mean, God, fair play to them. They gave it a go.
Yeah.
Really wasn't that great. Now, I haven't seen the full thing. I've just seen clips of it, but you can kind of already tell. But I think, all in all, they just always dust themselves off and come out of it. Even with there's been, like, scandals on Saturday Night Takeaway with the phone voting and that in 2007. Yeah. But and they did at that stage, they said, like, we thought our career was over, that was it. But I think people just love them too much to ever really, you know, totally be angry at them for too long.
Okay, let's take a look at the two of them then, Ant and Dec. It's quite unusual. They are actually best friends to the power of a billion, really. Mm. I mean, it's crazy to think they work together so much, spend so much time together, and they do that as well when they're not even working together.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the lads, they shared on a flat for years. Then they now live next, or pretty much, I think, three doors down from each other. They text each other all the time. And like Dec has said himself, what was it? Ours is a career built on friendship and not a friendship built on a career, yeah. Which I know is kind of past the sick bucket a bit. It's what it comes down to. And I know an aunt as well has said that if it did fall out, if that, God forbid, ever did happen, that he would miss his best friend more than he would miss his career, which I think is, you know, at the end of the day, these guys, they need to be best friends, you know, they need to, for their own careers to work. But I don't even think at this stage, after 25 years, I can't see anything that would come between them at this point, you know. They're so solid, I think.
The original bromance.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, Dave.
Okay, so they're very approachable. They've always played to their strengths. They always know the best way to do it. And there are those who would say that there's a little bit of personality that, like, for instance, a lot of the programmes they do, they're just standing there as reaction people. They're not exactly out there presenting, or they're doing a Graham Norton or a Ryan and the Late Late or that kind of thing. They're just kind of, okay, well, whatever. And that even goes with the I'm a Celebrity, you know.
I suppose they're kind of like performers, really, you know, whenever it comes to what they're doing. Like, even sometimes there are little bits in between and I'm a Celebrity, you can tell they're kind of well rehearsed and well practiced in that. And yeah, I guess they're not out there doing in-depth interviews, but you know, any like Saturday Night Takeaway, they always, you know, kind of would be chatting to members of the public, chatting to the audience. They always do pranks on people. They're kind of, they're like a double act, really. They're not supposed to be like Graham Norton. They're not supposed to be like anyone else. They're supposed to be unique. You know?
As a double act, they were on Radio 4's Desert Island Discs, and for the first time ever or something like that, they allowed two people to be interviewed.
They broke tradition, always on a Radio 4 Desert Island Discs, because just one person obviously going through their Desert Island Discs. But yeah, they broke tradition and said you can't have one without the other, basically. They're a package. So the two of them went on and did it.
And in the movie Love Actually, the fantastic Bill Nighy, that great line.
Oh,
but I hadn't known the line beforehand. I was so pleased. I really fell around laughing when he was being interviewed as a pop star or whatever, or a pop star trying to come back by Ant and Dec. He said, well, the thing is, Ant or Dec, which really kind of sums it up, like those people who don't know who's who, there's a simple way, isn't there?
Yes, exactly. I mean, they did a survey recently and it showed that 70% of people in Britain couldn't tell the difference between Ant and Dec. But it's really easy because Ant always stands on the left and Dec always stands on the right.
So Ant is the taller one.
Yes. No, yes. Ant is, Ant is the taller one. Dec is a smaller one. And they follow this religiously. They rarely break it. I think there was one time on Britain's Got Talent when a guy came on and tried to draw a picture of them on his ass, so to speak, and then they came around and they went on the opposite side of one another, and they made a big thing of saying that was the first time in 20 years that they ever stood on the wrong side of one another. But even when they were on Graham Norton recently, they always said they sat down like that, like Ant.
Yeah, I saw them.
Dec,
yeah.
And they said that that's just how they do it now, you know, even when the cameras aren't off, they're so used to being on that side of one another that that's how they sit.
So have Jedward learned, has Jedward learned a thing or two?
Exactly. Jedward followed this exact same format. Yeah, John is always on the left, Edward's always on the right.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I wouldn't, if you had said, do I know the names of which is which? I know it's Ant and Dec as you look at the telly. So John and Edward is the way you look at it on the telly.
But those two, I don't know if those two would follow it that well, considering, I don't know, if they might get a bit confused, but that's how they're supposed to stand anyway. John on the left,
and
Edward on the right.
About an insurance money they've taken out on each other.
Exactly.
By the way, we're back to Ant and Dec now.
Ant and Dec, no, Jedward, I don't know where Jedward are these days, actually. Ant and Dec have taken out insurance in case anything is to happen to the other one, which I guess is a morbid but wise thing to do. So if, say, Ant was to pop his clogs in the morning, Dec would get millions, apparently. There's a seven-figure sum. No one has really specified exactly what it is, but I mean, considering they earn about $5 million a year each anyway, I'm sure it would be a lot of money if, because if one of them died, can you only imagine, it would be horrific, you know. So that's it. But they said they're not insured if they ever fall out, unfortunately. So
right, I see. Okay, now they are funny. That really helps an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's very much part of the act in all the shows they've done, and also in kind of selling their northeast of England roots, Newcastle fans and all that kind of thing.
That's it, yeah. They're really like loyal to their whole Geordie roots, you know. And I think again, that's a big part of it. They sort of have that sense of humour, from the Geordie sense of humour, that I guess, I don't know, it appeals to everyone. I mean, look at Cheryl Cole as well. Like, it's just sort of that down to earth, you know, kind of take the piss out of everyone. I mean, they're the type of lads, I think, that if they weren't entertaining us on a Saturday night on TV, you'd still be seeing them down the pub and they'd still be cracking the same jokes. They'd still be kind of buzzing off each other. So I think they kind of have a natural comic timing, you know, they buzz off each other so well, and you could just see that. It kind of really, I guess, transcends off the television when you're watching it. You know?
Yeah. And looking back in the past, if anybody had to kind of say, well, this the Markham and Wise thing comes up a lot, or yeah. Eric and Ernie or whatever.
Exactly. They are considered the Wise, or the modern day Markham and Wise. And even, I think, because his name Gary Markham is one of their grandchildren, he has said that he sees the same natural chemistry between Eric and Ernie as he does with Ant and Dec. So you can see that they are have kind of followed that route as well. I sometimes think they're even doing it intentionally. Like they did a magazine shoot a good few years ago now where they kind of copied the Morecambe Wise sketch of the two men lying in bed together, and they did this joke of Ant and Dec then lying in bed together. So I think they sort of in one way have decided that that's going to be their niche. They're going to be the next Morecambe Wise.
Okay, and they're bringing it on the road. What are they bringing on the road to? Like, I've got the dates here in front of me. They are Saturday, yes, the 13th of September. They're coming to the O2, I presume, in Dublin, is it? Yeah, it must be. Mm-hmm. And then they've also got another one here, Friday the 12th of September. A third and final show has been added due to demand as well.
Yes, it's the Saturday Night Takeaway is now going on tour.
So very much an audience interaction thing, I presume.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this isn't going to be for TV. This is just going to be a show for the public, because they've said that in the past, people have said that that's the one TV show that they would love to be a part of. They would love to be in the audience for. So now they've decided to keep their fans happy.
As opposed to Poker Face or Push the Button or Red or Black and stuff that people would rather forget about.
Exactly, yeah. They have tried their hand at quite a few game shows, but Saturday Night Takeaway seems to be the one that people just can't get enough of. I mean, I think it was voted number 2 in the top 50 shows on ITV in the last year or so, and number 1 was Coronation Street, so you're never going to beat that.
Okay, so what they do is they present, for those who don't know, and Decker, they present what I would call broad entertainment shows.
Yes,
the kind of
exactly.
stuff you'd see from 7 to 9 on Saturday night on TV.
Yeah, shiny floor shows.
Shiny floor shows indeed, yeah, absolutely. But one of the things also that people have pointed out about them, they've got very, very big foreheads.
They do, in fact, have very big foreheads. It's maybe to fit in those very big brains. I don't know.
Yeah,
they do have very big foreheads.
Yeah. Now, the work, I mean, 25 years, and they still look about 6.
So, I know.
They certainly haven't been afraid of hard work. They've been working their arses off since the very beginning, haven't they, really?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Now, I have no sympathy for them. It's a great place to work in television and all that, but I mean, they have, haven't they?
They are. They're true grafters, really, and, like, I think people...
Where do you go back to? Like, where did they start?
They started off in their teenage years in Biker Grove. That's where the pair of them met.
And what was Biker Grove with a Y?
Biker Grove was this sort of after-school show that was on, set in England, and it was just...
Like a Grange Hill kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah. It was kind of considered the new version of Grange Hill. And those two men, I think Ant was on it for the first series, and then Dec came and joined them, and they've said that the only people who don't like Ant and Dec apparently when they first met were each other, because Dec described Ant as miserable, I think. He just didn't like him at all, but then obviously that quickly changed. So they did Biker Grove, and then they went on to become PJ and Duncan. PJ and Duncan, of course, had their great hit Let's Get Ready to Rumble, which came back into our lives again with a bang last year.
Why? Sorry.
They did a performance of it on the show on Saturday Night Takeaway, and it never actually got number one when it came out 20 years ago, but they got it to number one last Christmas. Yeah, last February.
Okay, we'll give it a little blast. This is, were they called Ant and Dec?
Yes. Oh no, they were called PJ and Duncan.
Oh, sorry, PJ and Duncan.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. So this is Ant and Dec as PJ and Duncan. Is one of them's real name Duncan? No, I'm confused.
No.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Okay, anyway, here's Rumble, so get ready to rumble.
As you all.
I tell some so many lyrics, we'll rhyme to you some.
So many lyrics, we'll keep them in stores.
We've even got coming out of a pause. Your father.
Your mother.
Your sister.
Your brother.
Everyone's got to be an AKA lover.
Let's get ready to rock.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I presume people in the know would know. Is that the kind of more updated one? It sounds more updated than it might be, but it still
from
sounds
the
absolutely
TV show.
Crap.
God,
I
think it's the same as anything at the moment. All this nostalgia stuff really works on people, because the people who grew up with them are now old enough to be.
I bet you when they did get to that number one, it was released with some major red nosed charity or something, so people felt they had to buy it or something.
I think it was either way, it got to number one.
Well, then let's take a look. Ant and Dec then now, and where we are now with them. You know, things, as we said earlier on, some of them haven't quite worked out. They have managed to escape without doing any real harm to the brand.
Yes, exactly. One of the big ones, as I was saying earlier, was the voting scandal from 2007.
They were just victims of that in some ways.
Exactly.
It wasn't those two guys.
No, it's not like they orchestrated the whole thing. It was proven that people who were phoning into the competition, basically, they'd already chosen the winners long before they said to go in. So Ofcom got onto them, and it was a big scandal at the time. And then there was another scandal, I think, with the show Red or Black, which was a terrible... Well, it wasn't... It was basically the whole premise of the show was just getting loads of contestants on to choose between two colours. But it was one of the most expensive game shows ever made. It was a budget of 15 million on it. But it turned out that the first contestant on it had a criminal record. So he was the first person to win a million. And he had a criminal record. So there was a big thing by the Sun who wanted them to, you know, get rid of the show, take the money off your man. You know, they kind of seem like they've had this kind of squeaky clean, nothing has happened to them at all. But they have had these little kind of storms that would come along. But they always sort of, dust themselves off and carry on.
Okay. And as we said, the bid to crack America failed, but so what?
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, to be honest, I think they might go for it again now with Saturday Night Takeaway. There is rumours of it. And, you know, they could go over there with that show ready-made and it would probably do a lot better than the previous show, Wanna Bet. But there's such a national treasure in Britain that... Like, they could easily... I don't think it would bother them that much if they never cracked America, you know? I mean, it obviously would be an ambition of theirs, but I don't think it's that high a priority.
Well, somebody says that they've come a long way from wonky donkey. I hope somebody understands what that means. what's really notable about them, I suppose, finally then, is that they've never lost touch with their roots. That's what you mentioned earlier on about the Newcastle thing and the Northeast of England. It seems to be very much the same guys, and that's one of the reasons why, no matter how much fame they've found, they don't come across as anything different. I mean, the only one I've ever properly seen them in on a regular basis would be I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
And it is welcoming when the camera goes back to them as opposed
exactly,
to
somebody.
You kind of say, oh great, they're going to be whatever. And they can be quite risque.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, there was a thing down, I think, a few years ago when I think there was something, they were remarking on something that had happened in the episode of Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, and people were saying, oh, it was a bit, you know, crass and all that. And then it turned out it was after the watershed, so it was fine. But yeah. I guess they are in that, like, that late night time slot where they can be that way if they want to. But as you were saying, like, it's, in I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, when you're seeing all the antics in the jungle, it's sort of... the kind of level-headedness of Ant and Dec that kind of brings it all back down to earth again, you know?
Yeah.
When the camera goes back to them, you know you're going to get like, Jesus, what's going on here? Yeah. You know that way? And I think that's a huge part of them, that they sort of, they take, rein it all back in again and make it real for people.
Not particularly necessarily reverential to the contestants. When they do talk to them, they take the piss.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, well, Ant and Dec then, they've probably another 50 years left to go. They're already a massive British institution and people do love them very much indeed, no question about it. Just one thing, by the way, we are talking there to Fiona Flynn from entertainment.ie. You were saying entertainment.ie is now gone since the 90s.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, it's been one of the first kind of big Irish websites that came out.
Yeah, I was just saying to you, I know it's a long time, I didn't realise it was that far back.
It really is, it's kind of just expanded and expanded down the years, but since the 90s.
Alright, well listen, Fiona Flynn, Fiona, thanks a million for dropping in to talk to us.
Thank you.
Ant and Dec, good luck.